one of my favorite quotes, and really what I'm going to be trying dealing with here is, I mean, you're not the known knowns. You know what the threat is. You know you need to patch your operating system. You did it. You know your operating system is going to need to be patched in the future. But the big question is, what are the unknowns? The things that you just hadn't thought of and been through, seen plenty of those in my career. Let's focus on that for a minute. And the first one, IoT. How many of you think the word letter T in there means threat? Okay, I have two rules about IoT. Rule one is that if it has a vulnerability and it's connected to the internet, somebody will find it and exploit it. And I'll tell you in a moment how they'll find it. The other one perhaps you might view as a little more cynical, but it's the fact that I've seen no evidence that anybody has ever lost a sale because their device was not secure. And that, frankly, is what's going to motivate manufacturers. But let's just look at how people find it. I'm sure that some of you, perhaps not all of you, have come across Shodan. Shodan is an internet search engine for devices. And you can put some very clever search terms into it. You can look for open ports or ports that respond to a ping. You can limit it by country. And the weird thing about this was when I did this screen grab, you'll see that the latest edition was a search that somebody put together for Apple Remote Desktop enabled. And I thought it was a little odd. And then about an hour later, I read about the vulnerability on Apple computers where you can log in as root without a password. So somebody got on it straight away. What I did, though, with Shodan is I did a search for hacked-router. I knew what the answer was going to be, but I did that, and I found 35,000 devices where the device name included the words hacked router. I think they've probably been hacked. Now, let me say that if you've got a device with the name hacked router and you didn't set it to be that, probably something wrong with your surveillance. More importantly, though, what we're seeing here is a BrickBot or something similar to that, which is crawling the web, looking for devices that are vulnerable to the same type of worms that we've seen in the past that have launched these massively distributed service attacks. Except in this case, the bot is apparently going in there and modifying the device name, perhaps fixing the vulnerabilities, such as the default password or closing ports. And in some cases, I understand, actually even bricking the device if it can't fix it for some reason. But so we've got 35,000 devices there just on that one search. And if you consider that most of the devices that are being circumvented by bots like this are actually not going to be announcing that they've been hacked, but they're going to be held in readiment for some horrible event in the future. And by the way, the current estimate is about 1 million devices have been compromised that way. You're not going to be able to find them as easily as this, but this does let you find it. Now, the other part of this really is that I come out of a content protection from the point of view of DRM. I've been working in DRM for a long time. And one of the things we have in DRMs is this notion of a class break. And for users not familiar with that, let me give a very quick example of that. If you have a mechanical lock, the way you circumvent a mechanical lock is you go up to it, you pick it. And each time you do that, it takes some time, it takes some skill, and each lock is a new attack. If I have an electronic lock, then somebody can hack it. They can publish the method of hacking it, and I can download that and make a card key. Or if the lock is connected to the internet, then anybody can open any lock anytime. And really what's interesting is that we see a lot of commonality between DVD player security, CSS, and IoT devices. You know, in both cases, security robustness is not a selling feature. They're both limited by device processor and memory. And I think what I'd add to that is that most IoT devices, the real single function IoT devices, have modified operating systems in there. So they're not even standard implementations of Unix or standard implementations of embedded OSs. Often they have a global secret, and which CSS had, and it's no longer a secret. And in that case, CSS was hacked because somebody had stored the secret in plain text in one of the software players. And DVD players are hacked by downloadable exploits. And all of those really are true of IoT devices as well. And what we learned as we went forward in content security, and certainly we've come a long way since CSS, is that security has to be renewable. In other words, it's going to get hacked. And what you need to be able to do is to renew it as soon as possible. And one of the things that you do in DRM is that you revoke the device. The device that has been hacked, you revoke it so it can no longer receive content. If you've got an IoT device, you better consider that somewhere in your plan is going to be to disconnect it. If you think it has been hacked, if you think there is a class breach that affects that device, you need to be able to disconnect it. But the problem you've got with that, of course, is, you know, what happened with the DVD player is that the manufacturers did not anticipate providing long-term updates for the firmware in it. And certainly you can see plenty of IoT devices where if you look at the version of the firmware, it's like 1.01 and it's 3 years old. They might be still manufacturing it, but they've seen no reason to update the firmware since then. So the question really is, okay, well, it may not have been end of life, but are you going to get it fixed if it breaks? Malware in the hardware. This one I love. This is one I thought, well, what if? And then I discovered it. Intel has a really interesting thing, if you haven't come across it, called the Active Management Technology. And this is really great if you're a systems administrator, because if you have a computer, a server that's crashed, operating system won't come up, it's gone completely out to lunch, the AMT allows you to go in there and manage it and bring it back to life. And it comes in into a separate processor that's working within the Intel architecture, and it has full control of the hardware. It has access to the network ports, and it does all the things you'd love to do if you're a system administrator. Which led me to ask the question, what could possibly go wrong? Well, in May, we found out there was a vulnerability published, which I guess kind of probably not much a surprise to most people, which allowed non-privileged network attack to get in through that port, gain control of the management engine, and then start doing things to the computer it was running on. But it was also able to do it without the operating system being able to detect it. And that is an interesting thing that we've always wanted in DRM content protection, which is this ability to have an environment where you can protect your DRM, but nobody can see what the DRM is doing. Okay, there's one in your Intel processor, probably not exactly the outcome you'd expect. In November, Intel finally acknowledged there was something going on, and we now have 10 vulnerabilities for this technology, and it even allows you to get, read one of them about being able to get into that AMT from a user on a system. This has interesting things, though, because if you can do that and you're running in the cloud, does it allow you to get something into a processor, a server in the cloud that will persist beyond your application, your virtual machine? Okay, two-factor authentication. Quick pop quiz here. Which one do you prefer? SMS? Yeah. Okay, biometric. Token app? Okay. Let's just go through them. First thing is, I was in telecom before I got into the entertainment industry, and not that long ago, but the signaling protocols that are used in the public switch telephone network, even now, were created in 1975, which makes them older than me. But the point about it was in 1975 and for 20 years after that, you did not need to authenticate the other exchange you were talking to because you knew it was down the other end of a piece of copper. And what's happened is that obviously this protocol has persisted, and about the point where people started connecting soft switches like Skype, for example, into the PSTN. I started wondering about this, and it's actually been surprising to me that it's taken so long before this happened. Earlier this year, Telefonica announced that some cyber criminals had got into their system, used SS7 to reconfigure their network and divert two-factor authentication SMS messages to the criminals, and which essentially defeated the two-factor authentication on a bank's user accounts. All hell broke loose, but it's going to be difficult to actually fix that one. Really difficult to fix that one. Okay, so fingerprints, everybody's seen this one, I assume. Very carefully, you construct a mold, you pour gelatin in it, it's conductive, lots of hassle. Definitely can't download that one on the internet, so let's get rid of it, because what you really want, if you want to circumvent a fingerprint reader, is this guy. This is a standard inkjet printer, printing with conductive ink, and some researchers discovered that just by taking a picture of somebody's fingerprint or a latent print, they could print that fingerprint with this conductive ink on a piece of paper, and they showed that you could unlock two smartphones with it. Now, my personal view of this, of course, is that I'm not quite sure I want to use biometric because I can change my password, but I'm kind of attached to my finger. The other thing, though, was I read this, I thought, this is great. Okay, my phone uses retina scan, don't need to worry about fingerprints. And then I read this, where turns out it's even easier. Infrared a photograph of somebody's eyeball, make some very good telephoto lenses, and you drop a contact lens on it. Oh, and then Apple came out with Face ID, making jokes about evil twin, and somebody came out with the evil twin. And this is quite extraordinary, actually. They printed a 3D mask. They put this infrared image around it, and apparently, at least the two goes, it will unlock Apple Face ID. Okay, so token. We're all back to token. A lot of people put that up for that, and this would personally be my preference, but remember this. You lock your phone. You're not just locking the data on the phone. You're also locking access to the two-factor authentication. So then you need to go back and think, what am I using to unlock the phone? PIN and password, yeah. Swipe pattern, good. But fingerprint, retinal scan, Face ID, that's where it could defeat you, because perhaps you're not putting together how do you stop access to the phone with what you've got. Cloud security. What's the biggest threat to your cloud data? Bad configuration. More and more hacks you're seeing are not really hacks. It's just somebody found your cloud port was open. And Amazon finally came up with a new console that actually tells you if you've got public access to one of your buckets. Pretty useful piece of information there, but kind of a bit sad it was necessary. Okay, so here's my thought for you. Did you already know these things? Well, if you knew all of them, that's great. But the next thing is, what do neither of us know about? Now, if you didn't know all of them, then I'll ask you, what do you do about that? But the common question we keep going down to is, what are you going to do about the fact there are still unknown unknowns out there? 24 seconds left. Thank you.
Spencer Stevens, thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I don't want to leave you with
One. One last slide. Sorry. Hold on. Back to that last slide real quick.
I'm sorry. I did have to leave you with this one. I forgot this slide was on the end. For those of you who are responsible for cybersecurity, going back to something you said earlier in the morning is really getting the senior management engaged with it, because this is what's going to happen if you get breached.
Spencer Stevens, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Spencer. That was great. It shows you keep digging. They're always there, right?